Letter of Polycarp to the Philippians, Chapter 1.
Polycarp and the elders who are with him, to the Church of God sojourning in Philippi. May mercy and peace be richly increased in you from God Almighty and Jesus Christ our Savior. I greatly rejoice with you in our Lord Jesus Christ for having followed the pattern of true love and for having escorted as far as you could those who were bound in chains, the fitting ornaments of holy ones. For they are the diadems of those who have been truly chosen by God and our Lord. And I rejoice because the firm root of your faith, famous in times past, still flourishes and bears fruit unto our Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sins endured to face even death, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pangs of the netherworld. Though you do not see him, you believe in him with unspeakable glorious joy, a joy which many desire to come into, knowing that by grace you are saved, not through works, but by the will of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, girding up your loins, serve God in fear and in truth. Abandon empty vanity and the waywardness of the crowd, believing in him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him glory and a throne at his right hand. All things in heaven and on earth are subject to him. Every breath serves him, and he will come as the judge of the living and of the dead. And God will require his blood from those who disobey him. Now he who raised him from the dead will also raise us, if we do his will, and advance in his commandments, and love what he loved, abstaining from all unrighteousness, covetousness, love of money, slander, false witness, not rendering evil for evil, nor abuse for abuse, or blow for blow, or curse for curse. No, remember what the Lord said when he taught, "Judge not, that you may not be judged. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Be merciful, that you may obtain mercy. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you in return." And again, "Blessed are the poor and those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Brethren, I write you this concerning righteousness, and not on my own initiative, but because you first invited me. For neither I nor anyone like me is able to rival the wisdom of the blessed and glorious Paul, who, when living among you, carefully and steadfastly taught the word of truth face to face with his contemporaries, and when he was absent, wrote you letters. By the careful perusal of his letters, you will be able to strengthen yourself in the faith given to you, which is the mother of us all, with hope following and love leading, love towards God and Christ and our neighbor. For if a person remains with these, he has fulfilled the commandment of righteousness, for he who has love is far from all sin. Now the love of money is the root of all evils. Therefore, since we know that we have brought nothing into this world and can take nothing out of it either, let us arm ourselves with the armor of righteousness and first of all learn to advance in the commandment of the Lord. Then let us teach our wives to remain in the faith taught to them and in love and purity to cherish their husbands in all truth, loving all others impartially in complete love, and to bring up their children in the fear of God. Teach the widows to be prudent in the faith of the Lord, and to pray without ceasing for all, to keep far from all calumny, slander, false witness, love of money, and every kind of evil, knowing that they are an altar of God, that he inspects all things, and that not one of their calculations or thoughts or the secret things of the heart escapes him.